Lizecher Nishmas, Miriam Bas Shoshana, and I apologize, I do not know her father's name. Welcome to Shiur 36, and we are now going to begin a discussion of the mitzvos of Leket, Shecha, and Peah. And in this Shiur, we will focus on defining and understanding each one of these mitzvos, while in the following Shiur, we will, Ezras Hashem, focus on comparing these mitzvos to each other and discussing how these commandments have been observed throughout time. So let's start with the Pesukim. So the Torah in Vayikra 19:9-10 says as follows: Uvekutzrichem es kitzir artzichem, lo sichale pa'as sadecha liktzor, v'leket kitziricha lo silaket, v'charmecha lo se'olel, uferet karmecha lo silaket, le'oni v'lager ta'azov osam ani Hashem Elokecham. When you reap your land's harvest, do not completely harvest the ends of your fields. Also, do not pick up individual stalks that have fallen. Furthermore, do not pick the incompletely formed grape clusters in your vineyards. Also, do not pick up individual fallen grapes in your vineyards. All the above must be left for the poor and the stranger. I am Hashem, your Lord. We're going to move now to Vayikra 23:22. The Torah says, Uvekutzrichem es kitzir artzichem, lo sichale pa'as sadecha bekutzracha, v'leke kitziracha lo silaket, le'oni v'lager ta'azov osam, ani Hashem Elokecham. Furthermore, when you reap your land's harvest, do not completely harvest the ends of your fields. Also, do not pick up individual stalks that may have fallen. You must leave all these for the poor and the stranger. I am Hashem, your Lord. And finally, we're going to see Devarim 24:19-22. So the Torah says, Ki siktsor kitzircha v'sadacha, v'shachachta omer basadeh, lo soshuv l'kachto, lager layasom v'lo almona yihye, l'man yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol ma'ase yodacha, ki sachbot zeisicha lo sifa'er acharecha, lager layasom v'lo almona yihye, ki sivtsor karmicha lo se'olel acharecha, lager layasom v'lo almano yihye, v'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa be'eretz mitzrayim, al keno nochi mitzavecha la'asos es hadavar hazeh. When you reap your grain harvest and forget a sheaf in the field, you must not go back to get it. It must be left for the foreigner, orphan, and widow, so that God your Lord will bless you no matter what you do. When you beat the fruit from your olive tree, do not pick the last remaining fruit, since it must be left for the foreigner, orphan, and widow. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, do not strip the last grapes, but let them remain for the foreigner, orphan, and widow. I am commanding you to do this, because you must remember that you were a slave in Mitzrayim. The plant dietary laws have a double task. One aspect is to inculcate spiritual and ethical qualities into the individual, and the second is to create a social consciousness among the people to practically help those in need. And Leket, Shecha, and Peah are all connected with Eretz Yisrael, and they all hit on these two tasks. Just to define the terms, Leket is translated as gleanings, and this refers to grain which falls onto the ground during the reaping process, and they must be left for the poor. Shecha is a sheaf of grain that is forgotten and is left for the poor. And lastly, Peah refers to the corner of the field where the farmer leaves part of his crop untouched for the poor to collect. And altogether, these three are known as Matanos Aniyim. Just a point to mention that I was recently discussing with my brother. It's fascinating how the Torah's idea of private property in Eretz Yisrael differs from our conception of private property in general. One might feel, and in a way rightly so, that this is my land. I own this property. I planted this produce. I spend money, and I invest in my land, and I certainly do not want people trampling through my crops and hanging out on my farm. It's one thing to give portions of my produce to charity, and it's another thing to actually allow outsiders into my field and onto my property. So clearly, this is what the Torah is coming to disabuse us from these ideas. The land is God's. LaHashem ha'aretz u'meloa. Hashem divided the land among the tribes. We live in his land, in his world. And every time the farmer turns around, he's reminded that it's not he who makes himself successful, but rather it is God's providence, God's blessing, which makes him successful. The farmer, more than other people, is highly at risk for losing this idea, and the Torah places many mitzvahs under his care, so he keeps Hashem in the center of his life. But for the rest of us, who are not farmers, we need to understand that all of the same ideas apply to us in our lives. Of course, there are laws related to when poor individuals may enter and when they are entitled to the gifts that we're going to discuss. So it's not just a free-for-all. But nevertheless, I just wanted to point out this important difference in our conception of private property for the farmer and how we non-farmers should keep these same ideas alive and well in our own conduct with others. And this is not necessarily a simple task. And not only that, even if you're a farmer outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the same strictures. So again, to keep all these ideas in mind. Okay, let's begin with leket. The literal meaning of leket is to pick up, harvest, or collect. The term is used to mean the grain which is accidentally dropped by the owner or his employee during the reaping process, and this dropped grain is left for the poor. We find an explicit story about leket in Tanakh, and this is, of course, the story of Rus. And we read Rus on Shavuos, which is the harvest Yom Tov, as well as the Yom Tov of Matan Torah. The Mishnah in Peah teaches us that the mitzvah of leket applies if 2 ears of grain are dropped at one time, but it does not apply if the owner dropped 3 ears of grain. The Gemara in Shavuos tells us that Rus knew this halacha, and she was careful to only pick up 2 ears of grain that were dropped at the same time, but she did not pick up 3 ears of grain at one time. And we can imagine that Rus may have been the exception among the poor people collecting, in that she was very conscientious to properly follow the Torah law. Very often today we see less than stellar behavior when people come to collect items, so it's not a far stretch to say that Rus's proper and decorous behavior stuck out. If we are in doubt of who the gleanings belong to, they belong to the poor. It's forbidden to create a device that will prevent poor individuals from gathering the gleanings, and it's also forbidden to have the employees of children go out and collect the gleanings. And the Mishnah in Peah states that a farmer who prevents the poor from gathering the gleanings, or allows one poor person to enter but not another, or helps one of them at the exclusion of another, is deemed to be basically a robber of the poor. Leket includes trees, especially vines. Grape gleanings are called peret, and peret is the same as leket, except leket is for grain and peret is for grapes. The Gemara tells us that there are actually 4 types of gifts a poor person is entitled to from a vineyard, and those include the fallen grapes, small clusters, forgotten clusters, and the corners. When it comes to grain, there are 3 types of gifts. There are the gleanings, the forgotten sheaf, and the corner. And when it comes to trees, there are 2 types of gifts. There's the forgotten fruits and the quote-unquote corner of the tree. There are laws as to when poor individuals have rights to these gifts. So that takes care of leket. So let's move on now to shikha. Now, shikha is the forgotten sheaf or bundle of grain. If a sheaf was forgotten during the time of harvest, the owner is not allowed to go back in order to collect the forgotten bundle, as at this point it belongs to the poor. Now, this is based on the psukim we quoted in Devarim, and it appears to be a negative command that you may not return to get the bundle. However, the Rambam understands that it's actually a positive command to leave the forgotten sheaf to the poor, and it's a negative command not to return to the field in order to collect it. If we compare the psukim of Peah and Leket in Vayikra and that of Shikha in Devarim, we find that by Peah and Leket, the Torah says that the poor and stranger receive these gifts, and the portion ends with, I am Hashem, your God. Now we learn 2 ideas from here. First, the poor and stranger are as much children of God as we are, and second, as we pointed out earlier, the soil is not really ours, but belongs to Hashem. If we examine the mitzvah of Shikha, the Torah tells us that the gift applies to the stranger, orphan, and widow. And then the Torah adds that if we keep this command, we will be worthy of divine blessing, that Hashem your God may bless you and the work of your hands. The Torah then reminds us that we were strangers in Mitzrayim and connects this with these gifts. The Shulah writes that the purpose of these gifts is to spare the poor embarrassment for asking for charity. Up to 2 forgotten sheaves are considered chicha, 3 bundles already belong to the owner. A very bulky sheaf is not considered forgotten, and what's considered bulky, that's the amount of 2 se'ah. Chicha also applies to standing grain and to trees. If, for example, the owner forgets to collect from 2 trees, the fruit become the property of the poor. If he forgets more than 2 trees, then they still belong to the owner. There are other related halachos to this, including if the owner forgot but the worker did not, or the opposite. What is in front of one reaping as opposed to what is behind the person. And finally, all doubts of lechet shicham peah, as we already mentioned, are decided in favor of the poor. So let's move on now to a discussion of peah. Peah is literally the corner, and this refers to the owner's obligation to leave part of his crop unreaped for the benefit of the poor, otherwise known as the uncut corner of the field. Now, on a biblical level, there is no minimum size for this amount of land. Rabbinically, however, the minimum size of land that should be left for the poor is 1/60th of the crop of a particular field. The actual location of the corner should actually be in the corner so that the poor have easy access to it. However, b'diavad, any location, as long as it meets the minimum of the 1/60th requirement, is okay, even if it's in the middle of the field. And there's apparently a machlokus about this. Although the minimum is 1/60th of the harvest, it should be proportioned to the size of the field, the number of the poor, and the yield of the harvest. And I'm not exactly sure how that works, but that is the halacha. Peah is a negative command in the Torah, which is connected to and next to a positive Torah command, and this is what we call a lav hanitak la'aseh. This means that it is usher to harvest a field without leaving a corner for the poor, which is followed by a positive commandment, which states that if the farmer did illegally harvest without leaving a corner, he could rectify the situation by leaving some of the wrongly cut harvest behind for the benefit of the poor. And the farmer could even fix it at a later point, after it was milled, as well as after it was baked. However, once the produce has been consumed, or it's otherwise no longer around, then the farmer has trespassed a lav, a negative command. When it comes to Terumah and Maaser, the owner has the right to select who he wants the gift to go to. This is in contrast to Peah, where the poor have their own claim to the produce, and therefore Peah is left, and whoever collects it becomes the owner. One of the halachos of Peah is that those collecting it are not allowed to use implements, but rather they must use their hands, and this is probably to prevent injury, because if they would all come in with implements, they might hurt each other. Peah could be collected 3 times per day, so there are specific time frames when you're allowed to collect, so morning, noon, and at sunset. There are all sorts of questions that arise regarding what is considered one field and what might be considered 2 fields, the sale of a field, dedicating a field to the mikdash, and other halakhic questions on all of these, who is responsible for the peah, and how exactly we resolve those situations. In order for a field to be obligated in the mitzvah of peah, it must fulfill 5 conditions. So, number 1, it must be edible. Number 2, it must be cared for, so therefore a hefker field is excluded from any sort of mitzvah of peah. Number 3, it must grow from the soil, so for example mushrooms and the like, those are excluded from the mitzvah of peah. Number 4, it must be harvested at one time, and that would exclude items such as figs that are harvested as they become ripe. And number 5, finally, it must be something that can be stored, excluding items that will not keep for an extended period of time. And just to conclude, peah applies to trees as well as to grapes. So this ends Shir 36, Part 1 of Leket Shicha and Peah. And next time we're going to examine them vis-a-vis each other and explain some of their underlying ideas.